You're listening to the Ladies Do Comics podcast, the monthly podcast to complement the Ladies Do Comics meeting every month at the Rag Factory on Heneage Street, just off Brick Lane in London. Ladies Do Comics is a monthly meeting curated by Nicola Streeton and Sarah Lightman, and is a venue for female comic book creators and fans of female comic book creators to come and discuss their work, and men are allowed in as well. In this month's podcast, in a Q&A that was recorded at the London Science Fiction and Fantasy Film Festival in April 2011, we have a discussion about the Japanese Embassy's Pride in Manga, Manga Jiman competition. Chairing the panel is Karen Rubens, the Victoria and Albert Museum's comic book artist in residence 2010. Karen is also a veteran of the Manga Jiman competition herself, and is talking to three recent finalists, Zarina Liu, the runner-up in the 2009-2010 competition, Yuri Kore, the winner of the 2010 competition, and Cleo Millett, the winner of the 2010-2011 competition. They're going to be discussing the homegrown manga scene in the UK and the differences between manga and Western-style comics.
So Manga Jiman is a competition run by the Japanese Embassy to look for UK manga talent, which is interesting in itself, because what is it about the comics that are entered into Manga Jiman that make them manga as opposed to anything else? Is there a distinction, and if so, what is it?
Well, I think something that's quite interesting is that the Manga Jiman itself means pride of
pride in manga?
Pride in manga. And I think part of the reason why it's quite an interesting competition to enter is because it's not specifically looking out for people that are... It's looking out for British manga, in the sense that what we as British artists and illustrators can bring into manga, and what we can bring from our styles and from our experiences as, from England. So I find that quite interesting, in that it's... The competition itself doesn't ask you to draw manga as if you were living in Japan and drawing the manga and the comics that you would get there, but it's asking you to draw a comic that you feel is inspired by manga, but also inspired by your British roots and also the underground scene in the UK as well.
So, if you consider what you do specifically as manga, or do you consider yourself comics artists?
Well, I definitely don't consider myself to be a manga artist. I mean, like, I entered the competition, like, yes, I did take on a sort of manga style, because I thought that's what the judges would be looking for, and I thought that I might win. So I definitely implemented that. But if someone said to me, do you do manga? I'm like, no, I don't draw manga. I just draw comics. Because I'm not from Japan. I've never lived in Japan. I don't know what the psyche is over there for their comics. I just draw my own stuff.
And I also think that manga does actually mean comics, so we should really embrace, we shouldn't look at a piece of work and say, that's definitely manga, or that's really indie. I think we should look at all work and say, that is either manga or indie. It's whether you read it at the end of the day, it's a piece of comic art, basically.
Do you think the distinction between manga and comics is useful at all? Particularly as manga appears to have a different kind of fan base to indie comics or even American comics?
I think it's kind of, from a commercial point of view, it is good to have a distinction, because then obviously manga is manga, has a big fan base. But I also feel that as people grow to sort of, like myself, I grew up reading, watching manga, I absolutely loved it. But then when I hit my sort of late teens, I wanted more apart from the commercial manga that you get in the bookshops. And I started looking at a lot of like underground indie comics, started going across to read a lot of The Sandman, Neil Gaiman, you know, Craig Thompson, Blankets, all of that sort of stuff. And it kind of allowed me to sort of jump into manga, which I could identify and I loved it commercially, but then also allowed me to kind of explore other, you know, areas of comic art and sort of embrace the whole, you know, comic scene as a whole, basically. So I think it's good commercially, but then also we should just try and, you know, accept all of the different arts.
It makes sense. If you want to sell your comic, then people know what they're going to get. If you title it manga, they know they're going to get something along the kind of lines of, you know, the style you're going to get. Maybe you're going to get real big eyes, lots of girls, lots of nice hair. I mean, that's probably a stereotypical view of manga, but people do know. Well, if you say manga, they know what you're talking about.
Interesting. What are your views, Karen?
Well, it's strange because... Thank you. I found it quite difficult at a certain point to think of my work as being manga, because there was such a kind of... When the big manga boom started, it was quite advantageous to market yourself in a way as manga and to call your work manga. But then you'd get people who would hate your work because you put the word manga next to it, because they go, oh, manga. And you'd other people going, oh, manga. And then you get people saying, your work isn't manga enough, or your work is too manga. Which is weird considering what they think about different styles.
Yeah.
Particularly as I don't think you or I have a particular style that could be defined as being stereotypically manga. But even so, as you were saying, it is kind of can be a kind of useful tool to market yourself.
I guess I'm saying that stuff is one of the defining images of manga, that kind of big eyes look. But I would say it's a definition per se. But if you talk to people about it, then they might sort of stereotypically think, oh, that's what it is. I don't want to look at that.
But I think that other aspects of manga, which isn't just the stylistic aspect, which is something that I definitely take into account when I do my storytelling, there's something about manga which is very different from Western sort of storytelling concepts, the pacing of the story, the big, like, long gaps in the work. There's a lot of space and time in terms of a lot of silences in manga that you don't get in Western comics. And I think that comes from the historical part of Western comics, have a very, put a lot of text, put a lot of words, lots of speech bubbles, keep the story going. Whereas manga's not afraid to waste pages, so to speak. So for that, the manga style isn't just in, the big-eyed, very beautiful-looking girls or guys, but it's also in the storytelling, which I think we've all got aspects of in our work, even though the style itself doesn't look manga.
Why do you think that the fan base for manga and that... you still with us? Why is it that so many women and girls are attracted to manga when they wouldn't necessarily read other types of comics?
Yumi, do you wanna have a little... Is that right?
No, it's okay.
Well, to be honest, I don't know the answer to that. But I did notice when I was at the competition, there's three girls here right now. I did notice there was lots of young girls. They started the competition at age 14. And so there was some really good stuff coming out there, and I think there was probably more girls there than guys, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think so. I think the manga, going back to the style, I think it lends itself to quite a feminine audience, because it's initially, it's quite different from Marvel. For an example, my brother grew up reading, he's a big fan of Marvel, everything like Marvel, and from a girl's point of view growing up, sometimes you don't really feel as if you can really relate to a Batman comic, whereas you could maybe relate to like a romance manga that's going on that's based in high school. So I just think from that it just seems quite natural.
But then lots of girls read Bleach, don't they, and Naruto?
Oh, yeah.
And those things they aren't romance, they aren't typical girly things, and yet the readership of manga is 60% women.
Yeah, I think I'm a big fan of Bleach and Naruto myself, but what I particularly like about those stories is because the sentiments are very much, are very simply, quite, the stories on the outset have, you have your fights, your battles, etc. But then the story's about friendship, and it's about, staying together as a team. And I think those elements and those themes in Bleach and Naruto, staying together as a team, trying to work and better yourself as a person, are perhaps themes that women or, as a young audience can feel like they can aspire to. And plus, don't forget that a lot of the characters in Naruto and Bleach are extremely hot.
Yeah, So basically,
so,
yeah, it's just the hot guys, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't comment on that since I haven't read either of those.
What kind of comics do you read then, Cleo?
I guess kind of, actually I've stopped reading comics recently. I probably need to get back into it. I'd say I quite like Ashley Wood's work. He's an Australian artist. He's kind of like really nice sort of...
He does a lot of panels.
Oils,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Really, really silent comics.
Yeah.
Where he does, he's really good. I really like his work.
Yeah, I guess I'd say I'm getting less out of manga, more out of manga, and more into other comics now. I think that manga is something I read a lot of when I was younger. I think as you get older, you kind of want to explore and read other things, and that's probably where I'm coming out of it now.
Yeah, I would say that's a similar journey that I've taken back, but since I've been getting more involved in manga at the moment, I've started to sort of come back and sort of rediscover manga again. You know, for ages, I was taking a lot of like workshops, and everyone was saying, "Have you seen Naruto or Bleach?" And I'd be like, "No, no." You know, but now I've just recently rediscovered things like that and appreciate manga, because actually the manga that I read when I was about 15 is completely changed now. Even in Japan, it's completely different to the kind of, it's kind of evolved in itself, so I'm sort of coming back to really appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't think I really know that much about what the current market's got in it. I used to read Akira and obviously Ghost in the Shell and all those big ones, but I haven't really read any of the new stuff that's coming out. I guess maybe I feel like it's passing by a bit, I'm a bit old now, or something.
Yeah. We can all hear your recommendations at the end if you like, Serena.
Okay, cool.
Great.
That's embarrassing.
And anyone else who's got any manga recommendations?
Lowry romance.
No romance.
Quite romantic.
Well, to be honest, I would read a lot more varied topics in manga than I would in fiction books.
Uh-huh.
For example, I really like Ayazawa's work, and it's very soap opera, it's very romance based. And there's no way I would read that as a novel. No way, but because it's a manga, I will read it. I'm not sure why, but
yeah.
I will tolerate a lot more stuff in comic format than I will in textbooks.
Yeah.
Text-based books.
Yeah.
I guess that's the equivalent of like Mills and Boone, isn't it?
Yeah.
To defend Ayazawa, no. It's not.
More kind of like the romantic high school stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So, how have you seen the UK comic scene changing with the popularity of manga and the kind of female readers coming into creating their own comics?
I would say that it's changed massively. From one point, it's a lot more popular now. I think talking to people that went to comic conventions, especially the London Expo event, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago, they would say that there were hardly any people, you know, selling their manga. But now if you go, it's a real big part of these events. Manga is really selling, and it's grown from that point where it was quite a, you know, I mean, I think manga was seen as perhaps maybe in the early 90s, especially when that film label Manga was running and started, it was seen as something that was quite seedy and quite violent or had a lot of sex or whatever. But now you go to these conventions and it's actually full of a lot of children who are dressing up, and they're really buying a lot of like the young manga like Naruto and Bleach, and they're really enjoying it. So I think from that point of view, it's really grown into something that's part of UK life now, from being something that was quite quiet or underground, or we didn't really know much. And I think the internet's helped in that, in the sense that you can now, instead of buying a quarterly magazine that would tell you what people are reading in Japan now, you can actually go to blogs and you can go to like forums and sort of get to know what people are actually reading now.
Yeah, what Serena says is true, and I think that, I mean, it's not just about just manga, the books, it's kind of to do with the anime and like the cosplay and kind of online gaming. I think it's more big community. I mean, I guess people who are a bit artistic can't be really happy with reality in one sense. They want to escape into that kind of that other world, and I think the world of manga is one where you can step into it, and other people who do the same thing will know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you can have an instant rapport with them. So I think it's quite accessible in that way for girls as well.
Crazy,
any answer I can think of.
Yeah, the escapism. Okay, so to get back to the whole Manga Japan thing. How did you find out about Manga Japan and the competition, and what made you decide to enter it?
Well, I was searching online for competitions, really. That's the end of it. And I don't think there's that many competitions in the UK for sort of up-and-coming creators. And so that's why I hit on one, which was, I wouldn't have said I was a manga artist, but I did it because that was the competition that was available. But I think there's more recently now. I think I saw the Observer does one.
Yeah, and there's one else I've seen, Myriad Editions, I think it's got a...
Myriad's got a graphic novel competition for first graphic novels. If anyone's interested in that, you need to submit. I think it's between 15 and 30 pages of an original graphic novel.
By the 1st of October, because that's my birthday, that's what I
remember. Are you going to be entering? Quite possibly, yeah.
So how did you get into comics, Theo? I mean, to creating comics? Did you study illustration or anything at uni?
I studied illustration as far as A-level. I don't really know how I got into it, but I always loved drawing. I used to love He-Man in particular.
Because of the attractive eyes?
No, I think I might. I think I wanted to be She-Ra actually. And possibly have that big cat. A big green cat thing. But that's the only thing I can remember, my first comic. I don't know, what's yours?
My first comic. I think the first thing that I can remember watching was Studio Ghibli's Laputa. I think I watched that when I was really young, like probably about 8 or so, and I was really hooked from then. And then obviously my family, I don't know if it's just stereotypical Asian, but we just read manga. I mean, my older sister had bought, you know, copies of Ranma from the local, like, Forbidden Planet. It was like the most, you know, exotic thing ever. And we used to read it, and I just sort of took it from there.
Oh, actually, that reminds me. I mean, this is quite funny, because the first manga I ever read was at your house, Serena, because I was friends with Serena's sister, Anessa. And I was staying over one night, and she had a copy of Appleseed under her bed, and that was the first one I ever read. Yeah, no kidding.
Cool.
And yeah, it was after that that I went out and started looking. Yeah.
Why was it under her bed? Is it some kind of...
I have no idea. I might ask my sister about it. We weren't allowed to read at night, because we were told that we'd have to wear glasses, but, you know, we all wear glasses. And we just had a lot of comic books that we just read. It was like... So maybe she hid it under her bed, she didn't want my mum to find out.
Well, I was reading it at night.
You're a guest, it's alright.
So Rina and Yuri, what made you decide to enter the Manga Japan competition?
I'm really sorry, I'm really nervous. I'm not from UK, I'm from Korea. You know, I just lived in Korea for whole life, and then just suddenly I had to move to England because I married some English guy. And then I was a manga artist in Korea. I debuted on 1998. And since I moved to UK and then had a baby, and then I just totally forget about drawing manga for a long time. And then just one night after my baby go to bed, and just clicking and playing with my computer, and I found about Manga Japan competition, and it was like 2 weeks left, and then I just was like, okay, maybe I can try that. So I tried it. Yeah.
I'm glad you tried it, because we're really good friends now.
Has winning the Manga Japan competition made any difference to your success of your career as a manga artist? And if so, in what way?
Well, I guess I'll go first. Well, it was only 2 months ago, so not yet, really, no. I guess it makes you, gives you more confidence. I'm definitely thinking about approaching some publishers maybe, or just doing some more work. I don't know, how about you?
I think I was a runner-up, but I really felt that it gave me confidence. It made me feel like I could do it, that I wouldn't label myself as a manga artist in terms of the styling. So when I submitted it, thanks to my friends who didn't go to me to do it, but they supported me into doing it, I was pleasantly surprised to be so high up, because I didn't expect that to happen at all. And obviously before I'd been struggling with people coming up to me saying, yeah, I like your work, it's not manga, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not really that interested sort of thing. So I felt that confidence to be able to say, actually, I do it, and people that are the judges, Paul Gravett, Ed Ida, you know, the there was also a Japanese artist who is judging as well. I really felt confident that they saw my work and thought that it was worth, you know, to say that it was of manga style. And then since then, it's been all right, actually. I'm doing a self-published book that's going to come out in May. It's a little... one of my friends has written it, so if you're at the expo, come find me, and I'll give out some flyers for my launch party afterwards. But I've had a few interviews and taken a couple of workshops, and I'm going to be featured in an international manga book about up-and-coming like artists in the world, so it's going to be quite fun, and it's been good. I feel like I'm getting the sort of slow recognition now, but mainly it's the confidence that I feel that I took away with from that.
Thank you. It's difficult to say, because in UK I can't really find some proper work, because in Korea normally we have a magazine and a web comic, so you can get quite lots of work in Korea, but in here you don't have any manga magazines. But after I won the competition, I worked with some Japanese company in their office in London. And also, I'm running some little bit of manga workshop in my... I'm from Northampton, so I have a manga workshop in Northampton. And, yeah, that's all.
So you're quite an interesting case, because you were already a professional manga artist in Korea. So you've kind of got a unique perspective on what the manga or comics industry is like here compared to your home country.
Compare with UK and Korea.
Mm.
I can't really say much, because if I see the manga artists and manga in UK, one is the Japanese manga book you import from Japan, and other one is kind of like us, you know, self-published manga artists. That's all. You can't really see some company made a proper manga book, like with, you know, UK manga artists.
Mm.
But actually, we don't, in Korea, we don't use the word manga. We use different word, manhwa. But it's the same word, manhwa, manga, manhwa. You know, it's all the same word. But you just think, this is a manga and this is a comic. Normally you talk about those kind of topics much. But to me, it's just the same. You know, comic and manga, it's all the same. Probably we're going to say, with English, we're going to say manga is comic, actually. It's not really different. But anyway, as you see, just manga thing in here, I can't really say much, because you don't have proper market or a proper company and stuff yet.
Mm.
But hopefully it's going to be more bigger and bigger and better.
Talking about the manga and comic industry, such as it is, which isn't much in this country, do you think that manga is still popular? I'm asking this because we know that recently Tokyopop, who published a lot of manga in the US and in the UK, have now decided to stop publishing manga, except in Germany. Which is nice for them, but not so good for us. Do you think that the popularity of manga and comics is still on the increase, or do you think this is a worrying sign for the future?
I think this is a tough one, because I think, I think it really depends on, it could be two things. It could be that as a publisher they've had to stop because a lot of people are illegally getting the manga content, and because of that they've had to stop. It could be because of the recession that we're having here. I know that I think Germany's quite coped with recession quite well. It could be various factors. I don't think that the popularity of manga has gone down, but I think that there could be other factors, which is why, you know, I mean, Tokyopop has folded, but then actually during this time a lot of companies have folded, a lot of people are cutting back, so it could just be a sign of the economic time that we have, or it could be because people are illegally downloading or reading such content, we don't know.
So no piracy, please, everybody.
Yeah, no piracy.
It's really bad. Although I have to say, I do sometimes read comics online, illegally. But I only do this. With one reason in mind, and that is to kind of select things. So it's some kind of, you get a preview of stuff, which you can look at.
Yeah, I suppose. I feel the way that way I hardly read any comics because I have to, online or anything, because I have to wait until I either buy it off Amazon or I have to wait until like somebody I know has bought it and then I can borrow it off them. But I think with piracy generally, it's killing the music industry and the creative industry in general. My two pence worth.
Do you actually know the reason why Tokyo Pop shut?
I think it's because, well, I have an opinion on why, but I don't know if it's true or not. Stop baiting me. I think basically because Tokyo Pop published a lot of teenage manga, and instead of kind of getting the audience that it had and progressing them through other sorts of manga to kind of stay with them as they aged, they just kept producing very generic stuff aimed at the sort of 12 to 14 age group, not realising that if they produced some of the kind of stuff for older readers, that the young readers might progress onto other things. Because at one point they did produce some really good titles, I mean like Planetes, and they published Erika Sakurazawa, people like that, but then they kind of got into the whole teenage vampire thing and it all went downhill from there. But that's just my observations.
Actually, that's a fair point, because I think probably that sounds like another aspect of it as well. If your readers are growing, but your content really isn't, then, you know, I can imagine people are going elsewhere to get more interesting stories that they feel that they haven't grown out of.
Like Viz, or Fanfare.
Yeah.
Or the mainstream book publishers that are publishing things like Drifting Life and things like that. So, can we have some final recommendations from the panel of things?
Let's start.
They should read.
I think you should all read all of our stuff.
Which is available over in the small press corner over there.
Stuff that I love. Well, I think from growing up, I've always read Rumiko Takahashi's Ranma half, and I think that is excellent. It's just, you can read it, doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl and you read it, it's just hilarious. Really good comic timing, she's just excellent at that. More recently, I've gotten into Honey and Clover. I think you can buy the lot from like Waterstones or something, but it's a really lovely like high school, finding yourself at university as a struggling creative kind of story, which I feel like I can, you know, relate to.
And the advantage of that is it ends as well.
Yes,
10 volumes and Honey and Clover ends.
I tend to just buy stuff that has a one to end. I don't like, otherwise it's, one of my friends says it's like an investment buy. You have to keep buying and buying and buying, and then you feel bad if you don't buy one, because then you feel like you're not giving the full collection.
Some Korean manga, maybe.
Yeah.
But if you want recommend some Korean manga, I probably can't find it in here. I think that's a problem. One of my favorite stuff is sometimes, because you use English title and we use Korean title, so sometimes it's different. But stuff like, I don't know which English name, but you know, the girl and apple.
Oh yeah.
What's the English name?
Meteor Garden.
Is it?
Into Your Garden? Boys Over Flowers.
You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boys Over Flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boys Over Flowers.
Yeah,
that's my favorite.
It's super cheesy one, but
yeah.
I really, really love
yeah.
it.
How do you read that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I draw manga,
really
normally I draw pretty serious one. But actually, when I read some manga one, I love to always love to choose some cheesy.
Yeah,
one.
Same here. It's just nostalgic. I just feel like it's like an escape. I just feel like, oh, these, you know, young love or whatever, or oh, I'm really struggling, and then it's like back to your day job, and it's like, oh. You know, but it's a good escape. I like the cheesy stuff too.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all like cheesy stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like sci-fi and action.
What
okay.
do you recommend then?
Things that I've read recently that I'd recommend, Full Metal Alchemist, if you're looking for a kind of action, fantasy, sci-fi story, it's amazing. It's very well plotted, it's got great artwork, it ends. There are that's like the kind of
that's
the criteria
amazing.
For like,
yeah.
Does it end?
Yeah.
If it ends, it's good. And that it's about 28 volumes or something of that, and it's a proper story that comes to learn. It's great, it has awesome characters, it's just brilliant. Also, I really do like Nana by Aizawa. This doesn't end or hasn't ended yet. But it's really good. It's kind of a soap opera.
The storyline really upsets me. Right?
Which bits?
Well, just I think I agree with you. I love Nana. I love the artwork. But I do feel that sometimes the female characters are portrayed in a negative way, and I feel like female characters should be strong, or they should have some sort of sense of morality or something. With them, but you know, it's rock and roll, so hey.
Those are cute guys, aren't they?
I know, that's
so that's good. I'd also recommend, if you're looking for something a bit more adult, there's things like A Drifting Life by Yoshiro Tatsumi, which is about his story of how he became a manga artist. It's a massive book that's about that wide. So it's not very good for reading on the tube, but it's great and has lots of exciting adventures of being a manga artist in it.
Is it quite old or not? I looked at it and it had quite an old school looking style to it. I could work out if it
It's quite old school because the guy's been doing comics for a long time.
Yeah.
But if you want to, for example, look at how fast artists create manga, if you read the story, it's like, oh, I knocked on, you know, these four volumes of this book in a month, and just thinking, that's crazy.
That is really crazy.
But it's going to happen here.
Yeah.
No, it's great fun though. There's Fizz publish a lot of good stuff these days. That's Fizz, the manga publisher, not Fizz, the British smutty comic. Which is also good, but not really relevant. There's an artist called Takahiko Inoue who did a comic called Vagabond, which is about samurai. It's based on the book Musashi, which is a kind of fictionalized version of the life of Miyamoto Musashi, famous samurai of the Edo period. And it's very well illustrated, although it is very long. And he also did some other books, for example, Real, which is about wheelchair basketball, which I've just started reading it a bit, but haven't got very far into that. Let's talk something else. There's loads of really good stuff. And lots of it's available at your local libraries, and if it's not, so I'm just going to randomly plug libraries here, because I'm a librarian on the site. If they don't have the comics and manga you want in your library, reserve them and they will buy them for you. This is my top tip.
Don't you have to contribute like £2.50 or something as well?
It depends what authority you live in, but in the one I work for, 75p, unless your book is classified as being teenage, in which case it's free.
Wow. most books in manga are, right?
Yeah, most of the teenage ones are. We have a very good collection of manga and comics in my library because I've been buying them. it's borrow Barnet if you want to go there and borrow lots of comics. So thank you all, panel, for contributing.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
You may have answered this already because I went to buy a sandwich. But I've been eating all day. I think it's really interesting that manga, perhaps far more than Western comics, invites people from other disciplines. Because looking at you three as creators, Cleo's work has a strong sensibility of 1980s with graphic design to it. Zarina obviously has connection with the fashion world, with clothes design. And Cleo and Yuri's work has a real strong sort of children's book illustration quality to it. What do you think it is about manga that perhaps attracts people who work in non-comics discipline to do sequential art?
I think because it's considered to be cool, at least at the moment. So I think people that like cool stuff will come to manga from other disciplines. What about you guys?
I agree. And I also think that the reason being is, well, for me, because I do a lot of, like, what I do is fashion illustration, but what attracts me to trying to do a comic in a manga, you know, inspired by manga, is because I don't feel the layout of a lot of manga is very visual, and I don't feel pressurized into having lots and lots of text and having a story that's really, really fast-paced that I feel like I can just really, you know, relax with my artwork and show that off in a couple of panels and pages rather than feeling the pressure of having to do something. And plus, for me growing up, the alternative to manga was very DC and Marvel, so I guess psychologically I felt like manga was an alternative.
Does anyone else have any questions?
Yeah.
on that, so what do you think of the Western comics of DC and Marvel compared to manga, where they're still sort of stuck with Batman and Spider-Man for years and years and years and haven't moved on, whereas manga is constantly moving on?
Well, I think things like Spider-Man and Batman, I do feel like they're part of American or comic like heritage, and actually I do enjoy some of the stories, like the Return of the Dark Knight. I think that's really amazing. There was one of Superman, I can't remember who drew it, but it was by
Frank Quitely.
Yeah, I think it, you know, they are, I think they're amazing, and they're bringing, when they take care into the story and when they do a graphic novel specifically aimed at that, you know, one of my favourite novels, graphic novels of all time, is The Watchmen. I think it's amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing. But I think that when you're talking about fast pace, you know, like X-Men, obviously it's dependent on the process. That was very much, you know, you write it quickly, you send it off to an artist quickly, that gets inked, lettered, everything. There's less, obviously the story goes on as a series, the same as some manga, but then I think that you have to look at the quality of the stories that have come out, like The Dark Knight Returns and the Superman. What was the name of that? I can't remember, it was
Batman's alright.
Yeah, Batman's alright.
Batman.
Yeah. You know, I think they the ones where they take a lot of care in, then they do come out, and that's fine, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I think with all sort of comic genres, you need to find the books and the stories that really capture you. So yeah, I'm not averse to reading that sort of thing.
Anyone else?
Part of the manga GMAT competition is that you have to stick to a particular theme, and they give you a theme and say, you know, make sure it's based on this. How far do you think you deviated from that theme? Because you were still able to obviously come out on top and win. But yeah, how close do you think you stuck to the theme they gave you?
Well, it's a theme. I guess you could interpret the theme any way you wanted.
Yeah.
Well, mine was waves. I don't know what your guys. There you go, sun and waves. You could do anything you wanted. So yeah. Mine was just, the guy had a dream, he was raging waves. So that's where mine came in. That's as literal as it was.
I think before the Waves competition, I spoke to the guys that were like looking into sort of possible themes and stuff, and from what they said was that they didn't mind if you made a vague interpretation as long as you showed creativity and that your story showed an inspiration from the theme, so you didn't have to do something like a comic with a big wave. It could be, like you were saying, a dream sequence or something.
Radio wave.
Yeah, it could be anything. As long as you show creativity, really, is what they're looking for. But then you can just do the, you know, be quite direct in what you do.
I think there were quite a lot of comics that were set by the sea.
Yeah.
What I can remember.
There were also, when the year I entered with the theme was 150, there were some quite bizarre deviations. For example, the only thing of 150 was somebody lived at a house, the door number was 150. And I feel that is a little bit cheeky in terms of themes, because it has no relationship at all to the concept of your comic.
But maybe it's easier to be more creative when you've got that kind of thing, because then you can just, you know, it's going to be linked in some way, and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to, yeah, I'll just have that samurai and lion and, you know, eight children and some flowers, and, yeah, and then they live in number 150, brilliant.
But I think that's kind of cheeky.
Might do that next time.
Yeah, let's do that next time. Mine was quite direct, because mine was about the sun and the moon, it was the sun. But mine was about the relationship between the sun and the moon, that whole sort of waxing waning thing in a relationship. So it was quite direct, I think.
And yours was quite direct as well. When I hear about the theme sun, I quite right away think about mom, because sometimes when you read them, you just can't really feel. Sometimes fear is too much. And then, but when it's gone, you feel you really need it. So that's why I connect with mom. So I just made a story. I quite love to giving those kind of themes, because I think sun and I think I was quite lucky. The sun is really good theme, and then wave is good, but I don't like that. If the year I was going to try, if the theme was 150 stuff, I'm never going to try. It's really weird stuff.
I think the things have been really good though, generally.
It was really different.
Yeah,
probably.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
So I'm just wondering, to me, one thing that's interesting about manga, at least in Japan, it's a huge commercial sort of business, which maybe it's not as much here, but if you're living here and you do have the passion of manga, what are the sort of commercial options or channels where you could sort of, if you're interested in drawing like manga, could lead to something else that, you know, actually pays your bills and so on?
There aren't any. No, there are a few publishers in the UK that publish comics, and that all accept kind of manga-y type things. Self-Made Hero were publishing manga Shakespeare for a while, but they're not doing that at the moment. But they do accept original comic submissions. There are some children's book publishers that will accept comics commissions, that do Walker Books, do graphic novels. There was the DFC, which is a weekly comic that came out, and that had a mix of different styles and genres in it. It's now defunct, but they're bringing a new comic back with the same editors called The Phoenix. So that should have some kind of applications of people who draw manga, but in a way there aren't that many commercial places for people to draw manga in this country.
I think the small press industry in the UK really does go to show that even though there aren't any outlets to pay the bills with manga, there are still so many people that produce it and self-publish as well, and I find that it's a great encouragement to say that if you love it and you want to do it, you really will. I mean, I'll be honest and say that my comic artwork doesn't bring any money, but because I'm creative, I can make money from other disciplines, for example, my fashion illustration, that really pays the bills. But then from that point of view, I feel like with my comic art, I can do whatever I want. I'm not pleasing any publisher. I'm just doing it. I can do a story that I want. and sell it in the small press industry. And I think it's great that there's so many people that are persevering and doing it, because, like what we had a talk earlier with V.V. Brown, people will pick it up. So it will, you know, there might be an opportunity there.
Yeah, I think I really agree. Actually, I don't think there's anywhere to go really with your work. I think the only thing you can do is kind of, I mean, I'm entering competitions in the hopes that maybe I'll get, you know, seen by some talent scout, possibly from an international point of view. I mean, there's the Kodansha Morley International competition, which I entered last year. I came sixth in that. But at the end of it, if you come sort of between first and third, there's a possibility that they'll take you on as a contract. I don't think that there's anything really like that in the UK. I mean, obviously there's that myriad edition thing we were talking about earlier, which, you know, there's a possibility of getting published. I think it's really hard as someone who's working in, you know, manga or even just comics in general, to kind of get a gig. There's no scene like there is in the US or in Japan.
I think you can probably count on, not to be negative at all, but I think you can probably count comfortably on your fingers and toes the number of people in the UK who are making a living out of creating manga.
But I think it's the same with any creative industry. I mean, you, because I also I have an understanding of like the illustration sort of scene in the UK. People are struggling. There's so many illustrators. Again, you could probably just count on your fingers and toes the number of actual illustrators in the UK who are making a good amount of money, as well as up and coming photographers. I mean, you know, apart from doing something creative as a photographer, you probably end up just doing lots of wedding snaps that are quite boring, you know, but it's just a creative industry itself. I don't think we really embrace it that much here in the UK as we do, like, elsewhere. But not be negative. If you love drawing manga, I think you should go ahead and do it, because I believe that self-expression and being creative is really important. So having a small press, people here as well do show that you go, and it does pay off in lots of different ways. You know, it's really good.
And that's not to say there won't be commercial opportunities for comics creators in the future, because I think there are aspects of the industry that are growing currently. And if you look at the sales figures for books, graphic novels and children's books are the fastest growing sectors, and other books are kind of levelling off or shrinking. So it's graphic novels which are kind of selling the most at the moment.
Yuri, are you doing any drawings at the moment? Are you doing like any kind of like commercial work, or is it just...
Okay, I normally work with Korean company.
Oh,
okay. So I'm drawing lots of illustration for like teenager books, like textbook stuff.
Yeah. So you're managing to find work there, I suppose, like...
Yeah, actually it's easy to find work in Korea, but not in here. Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay then, well, thank you, panel, for answering everyone's questions.
Thank you.
Cleo was Arena Yuri.
If you're thinking of entering this year's Manga Jiman competition, the deadline is Tuesday the 1st of November, and this year's theme is New Beginnings. More information about the Japanese Embassy's competition can be found at www.uk.emb-japan.go.jp/Japan UK 150. That's www.uk.emb-japan-go-jp/Japan UK 150. The next meeting of Ladies Do Comics takes place on Monday the 17th of October at the Rag Factory on Henyard Street off Brick Lane in London. It starts at 6:30 p.m. and this month's guest speakers include Kripa Joshi, an illustrator and comic book artist, Martin Streeton and Judith Taboy, who are co-editors and contributing writers at Avoid the Future, and also publicists and translators at Blank Slate Books, and Joanna Walsh, otherwise known as Bodarde, the writer and illustrator of London Walks, a new book that has recently been brought out by Tate Publishing. Following that, the next meeting is on Monday the 21st of November, and if you'd like to find out more about that meeting, please go to www.ladiesdocomics.com. That's LadiesDocomics.com. The Ladies Do Comics podcast was recorded, introduced, and edited by Alex Fitch. Ladies Do Comics is organized and curated by Sarah Lightman and Nicola Streeton, and there'll be a new episode next month. Thanks for listening.